Good morning and welcome back to Shattering This. I am your host, Yada. We have the great pleasure of being able to talk with one of, I think, the great minds of our time, a man who has uncommon courage. He has uncommon character as well in an era where moral compunction is no longer relevant in most people. He has written a three-volume series called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. You can purchase them through Amazon.com. I view him as the foremost expert in the world today on Islam. He is IQ al-Rasuli. Hello, IQ. Welcome.
Thank you very much for the introduction.
I want to thank you for your devotion to doing something that is literally essential to the survival of humankind, and the fact that you do it with a great personal sacrifice associated with it. It is true, IQ, and you know that I am a bit misleading when I say that what you do is essential to the survival of mankind. You and I both recognize that if people around the world, leaders around the world, politicians, media spokespeople, academicians, do not collectively shed their ignorance regarding Islam, study Islam, recognize that Islam is the most despicable, most deadly, the most destructive edict, institution ever created by humankind. That if we do not motivate politicians and the media in particular, and academicians, to universally start telling the truth about Islam, that the consequence of that is going to be a world war that will be started by Islam. They will fail in conquering the world, but they will succeed in destroying it. And that the consequence of us continuing to tolerate Islam and provide them with weapons is that ultimately billions of people are going to die. Is that an exaggeration or is that inevitable?
Inevitable. It's not an exaggeration. We're seeing it every day. Look, yes, what Muslims are doing to each other. I just had emails coming from Iraq. Somebody went into a Sunni mosque while they're praying, and we're talking about Ramadan, supposed to be a holy month, blew up 20 people dead. Forget about the wounded, the ones who lose their legs, arms, whatever. This is Islam.
Yeah. Right. And you know what's so amazing about Islam is that almost always the justification for Islamic terrorism and murder is the Muslims are indoctrinated to blame Christians and Jews for killing Muslim women and children. And that because they are told that American Christians and Jews purposefully target and kill Muslim women and children, that the Christians and the Jews are deserving of death. And so that is their, almost universally, is their motivation for flying planes into our buildings, for taking backpacks filled with pressure cooker bombs and setting them on our sidewalks. That is their motivation for doing so. And yet, in reality, not that reality ever matters from a religious perspective, but in reality, it is as you have said, Muslims are killing Muslims. Muslims kill far more Muslim women and children, probably to, I don't know if it's 100 to 1 or 1,000 to 1 or 10,000 to 1, but the ratio of inadvertent Western killing of Muslim women and children versus the deliberate killing of women and children by Muslims killing their own, I think the ratio has got to be well above 100 to 1 and probably between 1,000 and 10,000 to 1. In other words, the opposite of what they claim is true is reality.
There is an expression in psychotherapy or psychoanalysis. It's called projective identification. I have a chapter on that one. I have an audio video and a chapter on this.
Yeah, share just a little bit of the insights as to how people project their own faults on their foes. It's a extraordinarily successful ploy in politics, where almost all successful politicians, cognizant of their own faults, will project their faults on a foe for the express purpose of confusing the issue. So in politics, they're deliberately accusing their adversary of having the very traits that they have, so that they muddy the water. But in a religious point of view, it's a little different than that. So share it with me.
Muhammad did that. Throughout his life, Muhammad did projective identification. Let me explain to you. Every single book in Islam, or on Islam, tells us that the Quraysh tribe, his own tribe, Muhammad's tribe of 1400 years ago,
right,
went against Muhammad, insulted Muhammad, and tried to kill him. Mm-hmm. Not a single letter is true. Muhammad was the first one in the history of Arabia to start insulting the religion of the Arabs, the pagan Arabs. But their religion is their belief system. They've had it for centuries. Muhammad insulted their religion.
Can I interrupt here just one? Can I have just interrupt 1 second here? What you say is true, but it's not completely true. Muhammad did insult the religion of the Meccans. That is absolutely true. But his religion is actually based on that same religion. Muhammad's religion itself is based on the same gods, the same principles, the same shrines, the same religious rites. Every aspect of Islam is devoted to the exact same religion that Muhammad was criticizing.
Absolutely true. But when he started it, it wasn't like that. He made it like that after he conquered the Quraysh tribe. After he took over everything that was pre-Islam, which was pagan, and metamorphosed it into the Islamic belief system that he said is similar to that of Jesus and Moses. Which, of course, they're not.
Of course, no. It has no correlation. Nothing that Moshe wrote in the Torah, and there is no Jesus, nothing that Yahusha said and did has anything to do with Islam. In fact, everything that Yahusha said and did was being Torah observant, and the Torah is the antithesis of the Quran. They are absolute opposites. But it is interesting, and I suspect the reason is the same reason that Roman Catholicism spread and became popular. That while Muhammad began by saying that the religion of his tribe was corrupt, and then created his religion, established his religion by taking every religious aspect of his tribe and legitimizing it in his religion. The Hajj, the bowing down, the Kaaba, Allah's name, the black stone. Every bit of it is based upon the religion of the Quraysh tribe. The reason I suspect that he did it is twofold. It appears to me that Muhammad didn't come up with a creative idea on his own. I don't think he has one. I think that everything Muhammad did was to copy and twist that which other people had done. I think he was an effective plagiarizer, bastardizing what other people had already said because he wasn't bright enough to conceive a religion out of whole cloth. And the second is that the easiest way, the Roman Catholic Church grew on this principle, the easiest way if you're phony baloney and all you're really trying to do is build a power base, the easiest way to incorporate people into your power base and to get them to accept your religion is to incorporate their religion into your religion. So if what they're already doing in terms of their festivals and holidays, the names and titles that they're applying to God, if you simply say, I'm going to incorporate all of that into my religion, then it's very easy to incorporate people from the people you're trying to control into your religion. It is synchronization. It's exactly how Roman Catholicism became the largest religion in the world. Islam did the same thing. Muhammad did the same thing.
Nutshell. The only single item that Muhammad changed in the pagan Arabian religion was that only Allah is the supreme god of the Kaaba.
Yeah, and I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that too. And by the way, it's when I'm challenging you on these things, it's not that we disagree. We actually agree. It's just that sometimes there's more to the story than the simple statement. The Quran, if you put the surahs of the Quran in chronological order, initially, Muhammad referred to his God by the satanic title Lord. I don't know if you're aware of it, IQ, but Lord is the title that Yahweh, the God who inspired the Torah prophets and Psalms, Lord is the title that he ascribes to Satan. It is also the name of Satan in a variety of satanic religions. So when you hear Lord from God's actual point of view, that is a reference to Satan. See, God wants to be our father. He wants us to engage in a covenant relationship with him. You can't be in a family and view your father as a lord. A lord is someone that you have to submit to and obey, who controls, who possesses. And so it's the antithesis of what the real God wants. So Muhammad began by referring to his God by the satanic title Lord. And then from there, he chooses a name and actually calls it a name. And there are surahs devoted to this name. And it was Ar-Rahman. And Ar-Rahman was the name of the first Quranic God. And it is...
Go ahead. It was the God of the Yemen.
Right. And the reason that Ar-Rahman...
He converted it to Allah, which was the supreme God of the Quraysh.
Right. So you are absolutely correct. And there's more to it than that. Remember, the point I was making was that Muhammad couldn't create anything. He wasn't smart enough. And so all he could do is steal what others had done and then twist it to serve his purposes. The first surahs of the Quran mimic the words and style of the religious leaders in Yemen. He not only stole the name of their God, but he also presented his Quran using the same words and same style that they used to recite. And so it again is just copying and twisting that which already existed. And it isn't until Muhammad fled Mecca in shame that he changes his God from Ar-Rahman to Allah, when he's far enough away from Allah's black stone that he wouldn't be expected to produce a miracle. We'll return to Shattering Myths with IQ Al-Rasuli. This is your host, Yadav. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli. We're discussing the basis of Islam. The reason it's important for folks to know about how Muhammad went through a number of different gods and different names for his gods, the reason it's important for people to know that Muhammad began his religion by attacking the religious system of his own tribe in Mecca, which was a mud hut town at the time, and that the reason that later the very religion that he attacked, he incorporated every aspect of that religion into his religion, is that when people know how fraudulently he operated, how duplicitous and hypocritical the Quran and Islam are, then people are going to be a lot more willing to openly expose and condemn it. Because if we do not expose and condemn it, since it is responsible for 99% of terrorist acts today and will ultimately lead to World War III, which is inevitable, where billions of people are going to die because of our being willing to supply Muslims with weaponry, that if we don't lower the threshold where people are saying, I know it's a religion, but boy, this religion is so rotten, it's so counterproductive, it's so destructive, it's so deadly, I'm willing to take the risk of telling the truth about it. And that's the reason we share this information. And it isn't hateful. In fact, it's just the opposite, I would argue, that tolerating and providing murderous weapons and promoting a religion this destructive and this deadly, that's hateful. It's loving to stand up and say, don't do that. This religion is destructive. It's deadly. It's poisonous. Everything it touches is permanently harmed by it. That's the loving thing to do, because it protects people from ultimately being harmed by it. So why don't you finish your thought on this projection, and then I have an individual that a good friend of the program that wants to talk about a man seeking a refugee status from Islam as we finish this idea of projecting. Please finish your thought, IQ.
The extremely important when somebody, you see, most people, 99% of humanity, including Muslims, do not know the facts about Islam because they don't read their own books.
Right.
You have read the books which were produced by Muslims.
Yes.
And Sirat Rasulullah by Ibn Ishaq is one of the most revealing of all books I've ever read. It shows how depraved Muhammad was, how dissolute, mm-hmm. how debauched, yeah. how vile. I mean, yes. there are no words in any language to describe what Muhammad was.
Now, let me interrupt you here. Yeah, let me hear you. Degenerate, that is correct. Repulsive. There is a reason that Muslims are pushing worldwide for anti-hate laws so that you cannot speak negatively about a religion. And the reason is that when someone uses evidence and reason to reveal what the oldest Islamic sources say about Muhammad, the religion of Islam loses all of its credibility because the oldest sources show irrefutably that Muhammad was incestuous, that he was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was a slave trader, that he kidnapped for ransom, that he was a thief, that most of all, he was a ruthless terrorist, and he was a mass murderer. And so when you reveal that 100% of the oldest Islamic sources are focused on the fact that Muhammad was this depraved and that they don't show any redeeming qualities, that is so destructive to the religion of Islam, Muslims will do everything, including killing those willing to tell you the truth. Because once you know the truth, you're going to be opposed to Islam. You're going to hate Islam. Once you know the truth, it's impossible not to hate the religion.
You know, many times I hear that such and such a person is insulting Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen who are listening, there is no way you can insult Islam. Because Islam is so much beneath contempt. There is no way you can insult it.
Yeah, how do you insult a pedophile? How do you insult a pedophile? I mean, Muhammad was a pedophile. How do you insult a pedophile? How do you insult a rapist? How do you insult a terrorist? I mean, the guys that, to see if one of them lived that flew the planes into America's buildings on 9/11, murdering 3,000 people. How would you insult that kind of a person? What would you say to them that when they're devoted to killing on behalf of their God? How do you insult them?
You cannot insult them. They are beneath contempt. It is impossible.
Yeah, that's my view. When we return, we're going to ask IQ al-Rasuli about Imran Farisat, the Christian refugee from Pakistan that is being considered for exile back to Pakistan, where he'll be murdered right after this break. Well, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We have IQ al-Rasuli with us today. IQ, yesterday I had a good friend of the program call in and ask about a gentleman and whether or not he was being deported back to Pakistan, who is in Spain, who has produced a movie. His movie is called The Innocence of Islamic Jihad. It seems to be a response to the innocence of, was it Islam, the movie that the President of the United States lied was the cause of the killing of the American ambassadors in Libya. The man's name is Imran Farisat, and he converted from Islam to Christianity. Could you tell our listeners from a Quranic point of view, because there's a Quranic quotation specifically on this, and in Sharia law, what is the edict? What must Muslims do to a person who leaves Islam?
Death. Execution. Well, it's not really execution, it's murder.
Yeah.
There's no law in Islam. Execution is a very legal term.
Yeah.
So they will be murdering him.
So if a Muslim rejects their religion, according to the Quran, I think it's in the fourth surah, you must kill them, right?
You must kill them. There's no question about it.
Right.
Sharia mandates the murder of somebody who leaves Islam.
The reporter who was telling this story about the man's name is Imran Farisat. He was charged with a hate crime for his movie called The Innocent Prophet. It's amazing that he was exonerated, because truth usually isn't a remedy for those kind of charges. But he was exonerated from hate crime through The Innocent Prophet. And of course, that's a play on words. He's Muhammad was the most repulsive man who ever lived. There's no man more guilty of the things that we consider to be heinous today than Muhammad. But so long as what you say is truthful, you ought not be convicted of a hate crime. And as you and I have talked, there is nothing more loving than hating that which is destructive to those that we love.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you, but there is another word in the English language that the news media use, which is repulsive. They say that this man, or a person like you, or a person like me, are talking against Islam. We are never against Islam. We are only revealing Islam for what it is. We are not lying, we're not deceiving, we're not contorting, we're not twisting anything about Islam.
No.
So we are not against Islam.
No,
we're only revealing the facts.
Yeah, I would go as far as to say that I am a judgmental individual. I believe that the only way to be moral, to be civil, to be just, is to exercise good judgment. So once I am fully appraised of the facts, once I know the evidence, then I'm more than willing to render judgment based upon the evidence. So when I read that Muhammad was a rapist, that he was a pedophile, that he was incestuous, that he led 75 terrorist raids in over a 10-year period, and that he was engaged in mass murder, I am judgmental, and I will conclude, and I have said, and I will continue to say, that's bad. That you have to be an absolute idiot to trust your soul to a man who was that repulsive. So I'll go right on the line and say that to know Islam is to hate Islam. Now, that doesn't mean
500 million people do not agree with us.
Yeah, and you know, and the reality is that I have never debated a Muslim cleric who knew Islam as well as I do.
In fact, you can't find such a Muslim cleric.
Right.
I have, for 30 years, tried to get somebody to debate me. Somebody with authority on Islam.
Yes.
And they have challenges, as you know, over $1 million worth of challenges.
Yes.
They're all on the internet. It's not a matter of bragging.
Right, right.
Not a single person has come against me. Not one.
Yeah, for the same reason I can't get anyone to debate me on Christianity. Now, I did originally, when I came out on against Islam, when I began to reveal the truth about Islam after having written Tea with Terrorists and then Prophet of Doom, I did get the head of CARE, for the Christian what's CARE stand for?
Council of American Islamic Relations.
There, a council. That was the word I was looking for. Council of Islamic American Relations. I did get the head of CARE to debate me once, and he was scheduled, and I don't claim to be the world's greatest debater, but the evidence is so overwhelming against Islam that he just got his head handed to him. And so he was scheduled to debate me on a nationally televised radio debate, not nationally, it was televised, but not nationally. Radio was nationally. It was syndicated some 500 different stations across the country. And we were to meet in a Midwest city, and I was there, and guess who didn't show up?
He didn't show up.
No. And so, and I ended up engaging in many debates initially with Muslims. I finally stopped for a simple reason, and that is that I found that debating Muslims was a complete and utter waste of time. And the reason it is that their debate strategy is always the same. They will make a statement which is very easy to refute, but it always takes more time to refute a statement than it does to make the claim. And what I found is that as soon as you refuted the statement with evidence and reason, rather than acknowledging defeat, that they were wrong, they would simply go on to their next lie. And so it's kind of like walking into a room that's got a million mosquitoes. After a while, you know, you just grow tired of swatting the mosquitoes. You're not doing any good. And I also found that most people who were listening to debates were so poorly informed that the amount of information that you had to provide them to prove a point took too much time. And even once you did it, they were incapable of exercising good judgment, and therefore they were unable to determine who was telling the truth and who was lying.
True. I agree.
So it's tough. It's tough to debate in this deal. Now, I want your opinion here. This man produced a movie, and he said that, in from his point of view, this is something you've parroted before, that Islam is not a religion, but instead a political dictatorship which persecutes and teaches to persecute. You share that view, don't you?
100%.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, we're talking about debate. Every time I asked somebody to show us one single verse in the Quran, one single verse of compassion and mercy towards unbelievers, and I was willing to pay $100,000 for that verse.
Yeah, well, actually, there is a verse that is taken out of context to give that implication, and that is Quran 5:32. Quran 5:32 is a line that is stolen from the Talmud. In the Talmud, there's this whole discussion that amplifies what the Torah has to say about Cain and Abel. And in the Talmud, the Talmud always kind of creates a rabbinical and twisted argument as to, and tries to extrapolate on it and puts man's spin on it. And in the Talmud, the line, if you kill one person, it's as if you kill all mankind. It's stated in the Talmud, Muhammad bought Talmud readings from rabbis because he wasn't smart enough to make his religion sound religious. So he bought them from the rabbis and later didn't want to pay the bill, so he had them killed. And he put that line in his Quran. It's in Quran 5:32. It's the one that is quoted on television all the time. It's one that Muslims clerics quote all the time. But what does Quran 5:33 say?
Well, the funny part of the 5:33, although they quote it, as you know, they quote it, they actually misquote it, because they do not tell you the first part of the verse. They go to the second part of the verse.
Well, that's on 5:32, but on 5:33 is that that if anyone misbehaves, if they act in an un-Islamic way, if they don't surrender to Islam, their only remedy is for you to crucify them, for you to cut off a hand and foot on opposite sides, for you to incarcerate them. That is their due. And so 5:33 is the most vicious verse ever uttered in the name of God.
Well, it's not God, it's Allah.
Well, Allah, yes.
God.
Yeah.
Allah is not God. Allah is most definitely not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham.
Well, yes, Yahweh and Allah have nothing in common other than Yahweh.
Thank you.
Yahweh actually created Allah, because Allah is Satan. So he created, Yahweh actually created the adversary for the express purpose of there to be choice and free will. And it's just that in Islam, they turned the adversary into their God. That was not a very smart thing to do, but that's why Islam is so destructive. It's why it's so deceitful. It's why it is so deadly, is that in Islam, the adversary, Hasatan, becomes God.
By the way, 5:32, which I want to elaborate to the listeners, it says, Muhammad is saying, if somebody slew one single human being, it's like he slew the whole world,
right.
And if somebody is saved one single human being, it's as if he saved the whole world. But they forget to tell you that the beginning of the verse starts. On that account, it says, I'm reading now from the Quran, we ordained for the children of Israel. It's nothing to do with Muhammad. Nothing
right.
to do with the Arabs. nothing to do with Islam.
Correct.
So they never tell
right.
you this part, ever. I've never, ever heard them.
Right, yeah, that's interesting. So what they're actually admitting here is that this is plagiarized. It's plagiarized. Happens to be plagiarized. And it's not plagiarized from... Right. Right, and it's not plagiarized from the Torah. It's plagiarized from the Talmud. The very
right.
book of the Jews that Muslims despise forms
right.
I don't know if it's the majority, but it is a very substantial part, somewhere in the range of 30% of the Quran is stories that are lifted out of the Talmud and twisted to serve Muhammad's interests.
That's why I say Muhammad plagiarized, plundered, pirated, and or perverted.
Everything. You're right. Everything.
Everything. Everything in the Quran.
And then, since you've got your Quran open there, could you share with our listeners what Quran 5:33 says, that next verse? Maybe we'll have to do it right after the commercial break, because 5:33 is the most devastating verse, maybe in the whole book. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. In this last segment, I want IQ Arasuli to please share Quran 5:33. The one that follows the only verse that you ever hear cited by an American president. It's been cited by both George Bush and by Barack Hussein Obama to show that Islam is peaceful. IQ has already pointed out that the verse claims that it applies to the Jews and not to Muslims anyway. It was plagiarized from the Talmud after all, and no one ever cites that. The opening of the verse, they take it out of context, which is the very thing that they accuse Islamic critics of doing. But then what follows it, IQ? Could you please share with our listeners Quran 5:33?
I will do it in Arabic and English. إِنَّمَا جَزَأُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, وَيَسْعُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا أَنْ يُقْتَلُوا. And strive with might and main for mischief throughout the land is execution or crucifixion or the cutting off of hands and feet from opposite sides or eradication from the land. I don't think you need more than that.
Yeah, it's about as despicable.
Versus just in case somebody doesn't think I speak Arabic.
Yeah, and by the way, the making mischief in the land would be anything that is opposed to Islam. So if you speak out against Islam, that would be considered
mischief.
Deserving, yes, mischief, and therefore deserving of having your hands and feet cut off. IQ, Nick from Wisconsin has called in. He wants to talk about Imran Farisat with you, the Spanish man that has the courage to speak out against Islam. He was recently exonerated on hate crime charges. Nick has an interest in Islam because I think it's his sister, unfortunately, married a Muslim man. So, Nick, welcome to the program. You are speaking directly to IQ Arasuli.
Good morning. Well, first of all, thank you for speaking out, also. First question I have, why is there not more of people like you that speaking out against Islam? I mean, I can see like that Imran Farisat, I can see them online here, there, 1, 2, 5. Is there more of you? Maybe they could come and join you on the show, on the, you know.
Yeah, how many people do you know, IQ, that do what you and I do?
At least 50 more people. And they're not
so around.
Christian.
No, in fact, I'm not a Christian. I'm opposed to Christian. Right.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, they're not. By saying not Christian, I mean they're not brainwashed into hating Islam or something. These
no, in fact.
Who converted out or who became secular and start speaking about Islam. Nobody speaks up against Islam. The word against is a misleading term. We are not against Islam. Islam is against every human being on the planet.
Yeah, I'm a little different. Yeah, I'm agree with the second part of that. I'm actually against Islam. I think that once you know the facts about Islam, if you have an ounce of morality in your core, if you are the least bit compassionate and caring, you'll be opposed to something that disingenuous, that destructive, that deadly. It's impossible to be a loving person and not be opposed to it.
I think I missed what your answer were about Imran Prasad. Is he still in
Spain? He is still in Spain. He's under. He was just exonerated on the hate crimes charge, and he is in deportation. He's currently in deportation hearings in Spain, but a resolution has not. I've looked at 20 articles on him. There's no resolution on his deportation at this point.
Well, like a year, they're trying to deport him. Have he applied for asylum in the U.S. or something?
Well, the United States wouldn't take him now for the same reason that no other country will take him. He applied for asylum and received it in Spain.
Excuse me. Maybe Israel will take him. Why not?
No, because in Israel, the hate crime laws are worse than they are in other countries. You cannot speak against Islam in Israel. So, no, Israel would be the last country on earth that would take him. No, that's the problem today is that countries are afraid because of the way that Muslims respond. They're afraid to have someone that is willing to talk openly about Islam, because if they have that person, then Muslims go berserk and they threaten to kill all Americans or all Spaniards because one person has the courage to correctly ascribe the repulsive nature of the religion and character of Muhammad to Islam. So they're all afraid of him. Thank you, Nick, for calling in. Thank you once again, IQ Rasuli. The time goes by too quickly.